There was a Jewish gentleman who had been coming to the Wailing Wall. You know what's the Wailing Wall, okay? The Wailing Wall is that remaining wall in the western side that according to the history of the Jews, when Nero destroyed the temple, that's the only wall that was not completely, you know, destroyed. So the Jews go there and pray. So this guy has been praying and going to that Wailing Wall for 50 years. 50 years. One day, a reporter asked him, "What are you praying when you go to the Wailing Wall?" And the guy said, "Well, I always pray for peace. Sometimes I would, because if you go to the Wailing Wall, you can actually write your petition and insert it between those stones." Okay? Somebody asked me when we were there, "Father, it's been there for thousands of years. How come there you can still insert, you know, you can still insert papers, petitions in those walls?" I said, "It's because in the evening they remove it." As simple as that. If they don't remove it, I'm quite sure you will not be able to put anything on those cracks, on those walls. But anyway, he said, "Well, for 50 years I've been coming to this Wailing Wall to pray for peace." And the reporter said, "So, after 50 years, how do you feel praying?" And the guy said, "Honestly, after 50 years, I feel like I'm talking to a wall." But that's it. What can you get? You're praying on a wall, so you're talking to a wall. You see, in our gospel today, in John chapter 14, verse 20, specifically 27, Jesus said, "I leave you peace, and peace I give you." You know, many of us in the deepest recesses of our soul, we are praying for peace. There's so many conflict around the world. Violence, conflict, different religion, conflict because of different cause, many. And we want peace. We want peace. Every time I would watch the Miss Universe contest, you would always find one candidate to say, "What are you praying for the world?" And one candidate to say, "World peace." But why peace? Why peace? You see, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the giver of peace. And not only that, Jesus is the keeper of peace. When he said in our gospel today, "Let your hearts not be troubled. Do not be troubled." Why? Remember, this is chapter 14. And in chapter 13 of John is the Last Supper. Although it's not described compared to the Synoptic Gospel in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So, the apostles feel the weight of what Jesus is going to suffer. What Jesus is going to take. Remember, he prayed, "Father, take this cup, but if it is your will, let it be done to me." And that is why they were troubled. And that's why Jesus in our gospel today, "Let your hearts not be troubled." How do we find peace? How do we find peace? You see, peace exists in a man's heart, in your heart, if you focus on God. If you focus on God. In our earthly journey, we experience many kinds of troubles. We experience many kind of temptation. We experience many kind of challenges. And when we lose in our journey our focus on God, that's when we experience some trouble. That's when we experience a certain kind of absence of peace. Peace within. Peace within. You see, God is simply asking us, if you want to experience peace, follow my word. Keep my commandment to your heart. Keep my commandment to your heart. And he does not leave us alone. In fact, in our gospel, he said, I am with you. I will be in your journey. As long as you follow my words, as long as you keep my commandment in your heart, you will find peace. Second, the biblical peace is shalom. In the Old Testament, is shalom. But let us examine, what is shalom? Shalom is the greeting of peace, which means tranquility of life. Shalom is a greeting of peace, well-being of existence. Shalom is a greeting of peace. It is a state of being, the nature of man in harmony with nature, with himself, and with God. So it's not just a simple greeting of peace that is the absence of conflict or a wish of tranquility, of serenity. No, it's more than that. Even in the Old Testament. But it continues to develop. So that by the time in the New Testament, when the Jews were saying shalom, there is a famous song that I always remember. Shalom, my friend, shalom, my friend, shalom, shalom, God's peace be with you, God's peace be with you. Shalom, shalom. Those were the songs of the Jewish people, especially during the Yom Kippur War. They were at war, but they were also singing shalom, peace. Why? Because also peace is a blessing of rest, a blessing of glory, a blessing of salvation, and a blessing of life. Blessing of life. But in Jesus, what is peace? We have heard Jesus in John chapter 20, in the first appearance to his disciples, peace be with you. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. Touch my side. And then he said for the second time, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. What is that greeting of peace? It's everything that I've mentioned. It is a peace of tranquility because the apostles, the disciples, were troubled. Their master was arrested. Their master was put to death. If their master, who can perform miraculous deeds, powerful in word and action, was arrested, how much more for them? So that when Jesus said, peace be with you, it was a peace to remove their fear. It was a peace to give them the Holy Spirit, receive the Holy Spirit. In our first reading, Paul and Barnabas had been going in their first journey to Antioch in Syria, Antioch in Pisidia, and they went to Derbe, Lycaonia, Iconia, and so many places, southwest of the Mediterranean, northwest of Palestine. Everywhere they go, First, the Jews heard them because they preached in the synagogue. And everyone who listened to Paul and Barnabas were captivated because of the power of the words. And what were they preaching? About Jesus Christ. The Jesus was this promised Messiah. Jesus was the fulfillment of scriptures. But then came other Jews coming from Jerusalem who went to these places where Paul and Barnabas had been preaching. And they were zealous Jews converted to the new way, the Christianity. And they told the brothers, especially the Gentiles who became Christians, that unless you circumcise, you cannot be a full Christian. And what happened? It stirred the peace of the community. So that Paul and Barnabas had to go to Jerusalem, the first council of Jerusalem, and had to take it to the apostles, Peter. And that is why in our first reading, after the first council of Jerusalem, Peter and the apostles wrote to the communities, sending Barnabas and Silas and telling them that the Holy Spirit and us have decided not to impose on you this rule of circumcision, because salvation does not depend on circumcision. Salvation depends on faith in Jesus Christ. And then they gave them that teaching and then gave them some pastoral things. But what is important there is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave the apostles the Holy Spirit to guide them so that when they were faced with a big decision how to accommodate and to live in peace with the new converts, the Gentiles, they used that Spirit. They prayed, asking the Holy Spirit to guide them. And they came up to that decision that we should not impose circumcision to our brothers and sisters just so that they become our brothers, Christians. Holy Spirit, peace be with you. It's the giving of the Holy Spirit that we share the Spirit of God. That's so important. It's so important. Lastly, in the New Testament, peace be with you is the blessing of reconciliation that God bestows on His people in the eschatological act of salvation. Don't be afraid of the word eschatological. Eschaton simply means the end time. So that at the end time, this is the highest gift of God, bestowing the peace. And what kind of peace? The blessing of being reconciled with God. With God. If you have attended funeral masses, at the end, always at the end of the mass, the blessing to whether the body corpore presente, the body is there, or the cremains are there, the priest would say, "Eternal rest grant unto them or to him, O Lord." What's your response? "And let the perpetual light shine upon him." And then the priest will say, "May he rest in peace." Thank you. See, I forgot. "May he rest in peace." And your response? Amen. See, that's the final blessing. "Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon them. May he rest in peace." Amen. "And may the souls of the faithfully departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace." Communion with God, the eschaton, the act, final act of salvation, is in communion with God by resting with God in peace. That's our peace, to be with God. And that is why when Jesus said, "Peace be with you," it's not just an ordinary greeting of peace, that your troubles are taken away, that your fears are taken away, that it's a blessing of rest, glory, salvation, and life. It is also a blessing that in the end time, you will be with me in peace. That's the final peace. Last point. I exceeded my time again, but I'll go faster. We gave you a book entitled Living the Mass by Father Dominic Gracie. There is one part there, I think it's chapter 10, which speaks about peace be with you, the greeting of peace. And you know, in that book, it says that successful people have one important, principle. And that is to begin with the end in mind. To begin with the end in mind. Let's discuss peace be with you. When we say in this Mass to one another, peace be with you, remember what is said at the end of the Mass. Go in peace. Sometimes it's simple, go in peace. Go in peace and proclaim the gospel with your life, by your life. The greeting of peace, my brothers and sisters, is a greeting, it's a commitment that as we go out of this place, we live in peace with one another, that we work for peace, that we work for peace. Peace be with you is not incidental that it preludes communion. Communion of the body and blood of Christ. Why? Because communion is not possible when peace does not reign. Communion is only possible when peace reigns. And that is why just before we receive in the communion the body and blood of Christ, we greet one another, peace be with you. Telling us, reminding us that communion is not only with God. Communion is with one another, with our neighbors. And it is a mission that when we are sent, by the way, so those who go out before the final blessing, after communion, you miss the sending off of go in peace and proclaim the gospel by your life. It's important. It's part of the Mass. Part of the Mass. You are sent off and be part in giving peace and bringing peace to one another and work for peace. I wish you, brothers and sisters, in the sixth Sunday of Easter, that we all live in peace, that we work for peace in our families, in our neighborhood, in our communities, and in the world.